Sherry Seymour, you did not know Danny Casolaro. You did not know about the existence of something that he dubbed the octopus, but you were working on what turned out to be your own tentacle of sorts. Tell me how you got started on it, and then we'll look at the bigger picture of who the octopus was.
All right. I was a reporter in Mariposa, California. Mariposa is a community of about, at that time, about 1,500 people, 15,000 in the county. And it was located in the Sierra Nevada foothills at the base of Yosemite National Park. And this was in mid-1980s. And I was essentially covering court appearances, and I had the sheriff's department beat and so on and so forth. And I learned about a drug trafficking problem in our community. And it was very, very... It was a huge drug trafficking problem all over Mariposa and adjacent counties, all over Central California. And these planes, little planes, were flying into the airports in all these Central California counties and bringing drugs in from Latin America. At that time, I think it was part of it was cocaine being grown in Peru. It was being processed in Colombia and being distributed out of Costa Rica. And this went on for about 10 years, and finally some honest sheriff's deputies and some grand jurors got together, formed an organization called Decency in Government, and incorporated that that organization, and filed a lawsuit against the Attorney General of California, against the FBI director, against the governor of California for dereliction of duty, for allowing this drug trafficking to go on in that area.
And it's not just dereliction, right? You came to believe that it was there were active lawmen who were directly involved
definitely.
In this.
There were deputies that were deeply involved, absolutely. In fact, they were working an Indian reservation in Mariposa, in which the Indians are practically slave labor, growing marijuana, and they were bringing in Mexican nationals to cook meth on this reservation. So it was, according to the information that I had from the Indians, they were being forced to do this by some sheriff's deputies. So when this lawsuit was filed, there was a lot of media attention and so on and so forth. And I then traced it to an organization in Fresno called The Company, which was comprised of about 300 military, former military personnel and law enforcement officers. And they were importing billions of dollars of narcotics from Latin America. And they owned ships and airplanes. And they were doing mercenary operations and gun running. This was published in the San Francisco Chronicle. This was in 82, 83. So I traced it that far. Ultimately, when this Decency in Government group had a meeting with their lawyer, Ben Wagner, he presented a 700-page report on corruption and drug trafficking in a nearby county, Tulare County. And I got a hold of that report, and it had been written by a former FBI agent, former senior agent in charge of the FBI office in Los Angeles. And I contacted him and made an appointment to meet with him at his home in Manhattan Beach. And when I arrived at his home, this was on November the 30th of 1991, and I asked him, I said, why, if we can manage to win two world wars, and we could put a man on the moon, and we can, you know, do all of, we're so capable of doing so many things, why can't we stop truck and trailer loads of drugs coming into this country? What is going on here? And he handed me an armload of documents and material relating to Danny Casolaro's investigation. Danny had died just 3 months earlier in August of 91. And this was 3 months later in November. And I took those documents home and I jumped onto his trail. I decided to pursue his investigation. And the following morning, on December the 1st of 1991, I received a call from one of this FBI sources, who then proceeded to give me the names of all of the people in the company in Fresno and their connections to Mariposa and all the adjacent counties. And he said, he proceeded to talk about the Cabazon Indian Reservation and Wackenhut, the joint venture between the Cabazon Indians and the Wackenhut Corporation on the Indian Reservation to develop esoteric weapons, also biological warfare, and so on and so forth. And that, and this man had been the same source that Danny Castellaro had. And I got a hold of Danny's phone bills for July 1991, the month before he died, and I called the people that he had called and started talking to his sources. And I ultimately talked and met with Robert Booth Nichols at his home in Sherman Oaks. And so I spent several years after that following that trail.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we paint the big picture here of the Octopus? Because you're talking about the company as this group in California, ex-lawmen, intelligence guys who are running a drug operation. But that was just one tiny part of a much bigger picture, right?
Yes. From what I learned over 18 years, in my opinion, the Department of Justice is the head of the Octopus. And I believe that when Danny said to his friend, when he was heading out to Martinsburg, West Virginia, in August of 91, that he was heading out there to bring home the head of the Octopus. And again, he was tracking a Department of Justice official and his connection to the Cali Cartel. I believe that he was right way back then that the Department of Justice is the head of the Octopus, and certainly was back in the 1980s.
Well, it's not a sanctioned department kind of a thing. You're talking about people within the department, at least back then, right?
Yes, yes.
But it also involves Department of Justice, but other agencies, intelligence agencies, and folks all over.
Yeah. These, as I said, the crux of my story is the fact that the head of the Organized Crime Task Force and the FBI were wiretapping MCA executives who were connected to Gambino crime family. And when they were shut down by the Department of Justice, they, unknown to the DOJ, all three of these honorable investigators secretly and individually provided the wiretaps to an investigator for the House Judiciary Committee. And they were stored in the National Archives. So they existed, and ultimately I was able to get copies of those. Now, one interesting aspect, the Department of Justice did an investigation of the Innslaw allegations that their software, Promise software, was stolen. But they also did an investigation of the death of Danny Castellaro. And in September of 94, the Department of Justice released a 187-page report on Innslaw's allegations, 62 pages of which were exclusively devoted to the death of Danny Castellaro. Now we're going to take the tentacle into Indio, California. I'm going to tell you that story.
Okay.
During forensic testing, the West Virginia State Police Crime Laboratory found a folded piece of paper inside Danny Castellaro's left shoe. And the shoe had been found in room 517 where he died, next to the bed. And the writing was confirmed to be Danny Castellaro's. And I want to stress that his documents and briefcase were missing from that room. But the note hidden in his shoe contained an outline for a chapter of his book, which he titled Behold a Pale Horse. And in the note, he discussed, amongst other things, the Cabazon Indian Reservation and Fred Alvarez. Now, the note clearly indicated that Danny was interested in the Cabazon-related triple homicide that occurred in Rancho Mirage in June 29th of 81, in which Cabazon tribal leader Fred Alvarez and his friends Ralph Boger and Patty Castro were executed by a mafia hitman.